During my many years of teaching children, particularly middle school, eighth graders, the question sometimes comes up, if God knows everything, why bother praying? He already knows the answer. Well, to answer that question is not easy, because we're dealing with a mystery. God is God. We are just poor, simple human beings. By definition, God is eternal, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, pure beauty, truth, perfect love, and infinite, without any boundaries. So because he has no bounds, he can't be limited by yesterday, today, tomorrow, past, present, future. God sees everything like at once. Now pause and consider, poor little human beings that we are, who are bound by so many things. We can't even grasp the words, can we? What is omnipotent? What's omniscient? So we can't grasp the words. Nevertheless, God, in his love, created us. And he created us in his image. He gave us a body and a soul with intellect and free will. So we aren't programmed robots. We aren't animals that just go by instinct. We aren't plants that bask in the sun, although I wondered about some of my students. But when we think of it, that here God has given us the ability to enter into a relationship with him. So he's revealed himself. He gives us the grace to open our souls so that we can say, I believe. Therefore, when we pray, we're opening ourselves to an intimacy with Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We know that he's going to hear those prayers, that he will grant those prayers, but according to his will, for what is good. So the value of prayer is that it increases the intimacy and it enlarges the heart. St. Augustine wrote to a friend who asked the same question. And St. Augustine responded, why God should ask us to pray when he knows what we need before we ask him may perplex us if we do not realize that our Lord and God does not want to know what we want, for he cannot fail to know it, but wants us rather to exercise our desire through our prayers so that we may be able to receive what he is preparing to give us. His gift is very great indeed, but our capacity is too small and limited to receive it. The deeper our faith, the stronger our hope, the greater our desire, the larger will be our capacity to receive that gift, which is very great indeed. In this faith, hope, and love, we pray always with unwearied love. Well, consider then Abraham. So remember, Abraham received the covenant. So God made this covenant with Abraham. Abraham entered into that friendship with God. In our first passage, we hear of this threat to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, the real sinful cities. And Abraham is dialoguing with God. Now, when we look at that passage, I'm reminded of my good Orthodox Jewish endocrinologist, Dr. Tannen, who once told me Abraham had great chutzpah. So he was gutsy, he was nervy to think that Abraham says, but God, what if there are 50 people there? Are you going to destroy the whole city? And God says, no, I won't. Well, what about 45? What about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? Now, again, does God see the big picture? Yes. But Abraham is opening his heart. He's imploring. So God listens. And God says, Abraham, all right, even for 10, I won't destroy the city. But he couldn't even find 10. God does save Lot, his wife, and the two daughters. But the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. Abraham learned, though, God listens. God is merciful. God is just. God will always do what is right. Well, take it a step further. Because of Jesus, we can even have a greater intimacy with Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus has perfectly revealed God to us. True God, with all those qualities, has become also true man to perfectly reveal God to us. And so Jesus calls us into that intimacy with the Holy Trinity. Therefore, when we think of the prayer that our Lord gives, this is how we're called to pray. It allows us to enter that friendship. So Jesus gives the prayer that we commonly call the Our Father. We have this version in Luke's Gospel. We have really the one we say in St. Matthew's Gospel. Why two different versions? Well, Jesus is a teacher. And like any teacher, he can repackage the different teachings depending upon the circumstances. Either way, we have our Father. And consider that. When we say the Our Father, when we pray that, if we're really mindful and we pause, we enter into that friendship. First, we adore God, a Father who's given us everything, a Father who gave us His Son, Jesus, who gave us grace. He gave us salvation. He's given us the opportunity to live in the love of God and one day, God willing, enter heaven. They together have poured forth the Holy Spirit. God has given us so much. Now, there's an important point here. The word Father in English is very formal. But if we went to the original gospel text, the word in Hebrew is Abba, which is more the daddy. So our Lord is allowing us to pray in a very familiar way to His Heavenly Father. How beautiful that is. But then we also pray, Thy will be done. We're called to do God's will. Now that doesn't mean being passive. It means living our vocation. It means being the best priest I can be. For some of you, the best spouse, the best parent, for all of us, the best Christians we can be. That's God's will for us. And God's will is we live the life He wants us to live, His truth. We live, for instance, by the commandments. That's how we're called to live. That's God's will. We do what is good in the eyes of God. That is God's will. And then we petition, give us this day our daily bread. We're asking for anything we need. Granted, we have to remember, God will give us what we need. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need. He's not going to give us, as Jesus says in the parable part, a scorpion or a snake. He's going to give us the egg, the fish. So what's going to nourish us? What is good for us? Also, He's going to give it when we're ready. So we might have to be knocking at the door, as the parable said. We might need the little chutzpah that Abraham had. But nevertheless, God will answer the prayers. We pray for forgiveness, and we also pray for the grace to forgive others. We pray for protection against temptation and all evil, because we do face temptation. We do face evil in many ways. We're living in Sodom and Gomorrah right now, so we need God's help to help us. But in all, by praying this way, we enter into that friendship, that love, that divine intimacy that allows us to transcend this life and be with Almighty God. A good way to look at this is that we've all seen tapestries or needle points. And it's done by one stitch at a time, isn't it? And you look at the back, and if we were to look at the back, it doesn't make always a very, well, it's not a very clear picture, and sometimes it doesn't make what is sensible to what the final outcome will be. But you flip it over, and you see the beautiful picture. Well, in a way, our life with God is taking it one stitch at a time. Yes, He sees a bigger picture, but we take it one stitch at a time. And we're sort of working backwards because we don't always see the whole picture. Sometimes Almighty God has to take out a few of our stitches and correct them. But in the end, if we're really faithful, if we've had that friendship, at the end of our life, we flip it over and we see the beautiful tapestry of life that God has prepared for us. So my brothers and sisters, the challenge then is to truly pray. As our Lord said, ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. May God bless you.